Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who will come again and take his church to heaven. May we endure to the end and be saved. Our text is the gospel from Mark 13. We pray as we consider the word of God further. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And we ever pray that word would penetrate into our hearts to work repentance in us, faith in us, enlighten our minds and hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, two Sundays ago on November 1st, we celebrated All Saints Day, if you recall. And All Saints Day always begins our focus on the end of the church year in November and the end of the world. And on All Saints Day, November 1st, we focused on who we are. Who are we as we sit here in a pew? We are saints. We are the baptized. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We wear the white robes. We have the palm branches. We're victorious. We're winners. That's who we are in this wretched world of ours. We are saints, the children of God. Last Sunday, the third and last Sunday of the church year, we focused on where we should be. We still live on this earth. Let's not get too carried away, the readings taught us, because we're not in heaven yet. There's not the glory yet. We're still here. And where are we to be? We're to be in the temple. We're to be in the church where we are right now. And we're like the widow there. The widow doesn't look so saintly at all, but by faith she gives all that she has. And so where is the church to be as we await the end? To be here in the temple, in the church, hearing the word, receiving the sacrament, being strengthened that we may give our all to God and his kingdom, even our life if he calls upon it. And then this Sunday, we focus on what the signs are. Next Sunday on the coming of the King, the last Sunday of the church here. But this Sunday, what are the signs of his coming? And this ought to spark our interest. Oh, what are those signs? And we might want to try to speculate and predict when's he going to come and speculate about events in the world. That's all out there, and people do a lot of that. The Battle of Armageddon, the Great Tribulation, the Rapture, the rise of the Antichrist. Well, all those things are in the Bible, but they're another sermon. Because the words of Jesus in Mark 13 are not mysterious. They are quite simple and quite straightforward of signs of the end. No speculation here, no mystery here. It's all quite simple language. And dear friends, you want signs of the end? There are three basic signs that have been happening the last 2,000 years. So every generation has to be ready. We all have to be ready, coming any time. Three basic general signs that Jesus speaks of. Sign number one, that he's coming. There's going to be constant conflict in the world and in the church. Because we are such wretched sinners, constant conflict. Constant trouble, constant pain. That's just the way it's going to be until he comes. It's going to get worse until he comes again. Constant conflict in the world. He says there's going to be wars. He doesn't mention any specific war, but just wars and rumors of wars. Kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. That's been the last 2,000 years. That's going to continue to be. Be ready. There's going to be conflict, trouble in the very structure of the earth. The earth is yearning for redemption. The earth is yearning for his coming, that the earth might be resurrected to glory too, if you will. And so there's earthquakes. There have been earthquakes. There's earthquakes now. There's going to be earthquakes. They're going to get more of them. And there's famines. There's been famines. Famines now. There will be famines. So be ready. And finally, there's conflict in the church. The church doesn't have peace. Not here. He mentions quickly there's going to be heresy. And many will fall astray. He's not talking about the non-Christian. He's talking about the Christian. That many will fall away to heresy and false Christ, if you will, and be led astray. And then there's persecution. Handed over to governments. Brother hating brother and betraying brother to death. And a father his child to death. There's going to be martyrdom. We certainly have that now. We've had that and will have it in the future. Been going on 2,000 years and will continue. So be ready. He can come any time. But before I move on, one really important point here. Jesus compares all this conflict, all this trouble, to birth pains. That's significant. That means the pain, the conflict, the suffering is not meaningless. It has great meaning, like the pain a woman bears having a child has great meaning. It means a child's coming and something wonderful's coming. Now, he compared it to the birth pains, which means it's going to get worse and worse as we go on. I know labor, I don't know much about it, but I've been there with my wife with four children, and the labor gets more and more intense as it goes on. And so earthquakes, famines, war, persecution, martyrdom, more and more intense as we get closer, and we see that happening. It also means it's going to be prolonged. Usually labor's not a half hour or an hour. Usually it takes a number of hours for the woman to give birth. And so there's prolonged suffering. We have to be patient. Very, very patient and persevere and endure to the end. But then there's the joyful expectation of something great coming. And this is the faith of the church. In the midst of all this trouble, terrorism in Paris now, when's it going to come here more? All over the place trouble. We have joyful expectation of something wonderful coming. Like a mom and a dad, something wonderful coming. It's not meaningless. A baby's coming. And so we know that he's going to come again. Not as a baby, but in glory. And we're going to have a rebirth in the resurrection of our bodies in eternal glory. And so we have unending joy like a mother and father. The baby's on the way. It's getting closer. There's great pain for the mom. But oh, the joy that's coming soon. And when the child is born, at least for Anne, she hardly remembered the pain anymore. Got the baby. The sufferings of this earth are not worth comparing to the glory to be revealed. Constant conflict. But it's all labor pain, if you will, Jesus says. Secondly, there's the confident confession of the church in the midst of all this conflict. Jesus gives the one very positive sign that the gospel will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. This ending, then he promises the Holy Spirit to us when we suffer and are dragged before leaders and councils and governors, when we're threatened with death. He promises the Holy Spirit will be with you. Don't worry what you're going to say. That God will not forsake us or leave us. God will be with us, our refuge, our rock, our strength. And the church will be bold to the ends of the earth with the gospel. The gates of hell will not prevent the gospel. So count on that. So when there's war, what does the church do? We preach the gospel. When there's rumors of war, what does the church do? We preach the gospel. And when there's earthquakes, what does the church do? We preach the, say it, the gospel. And when there's famines, what does the church do? We preach the gospel. And when there's persecution and martyrdom, brother turning a brother to death, what does the church do? We preach the gospel. When there's heresy, what's the church do? We preach the gospel. In season, out of season, we preach the good news of Jesus. That's what we're called to do, because that's what saves and delivers people. We preach and teach that Jesus is God's Son. That Jesus lived the perfect life that we cannot live for us. He died for our sins, as the children said. He rose again on Easter. He ascended on high. And there is forgiveness in His name for all people. There's salvation for all people. This is what we preach and teach and preach and teach. In season, out of season, war, heresy, whatever. We preach the gospel. 91% of people, 91% of people believe in heaven. Well, that's good. 9 out of 10 people believe there's a heaven. There's something good after life. But here's the question. Do they know how to get there? Do they know how to get there? And there's one way. There's not two or three or five. There's one way. His name is Jesus Christ. His cross is resurrection. Being baptized in His name, persevering in the faith by the power of the Spirit, He's the way. And so we preach and teach Jesus that all may be saved. And then there is the sign of signs. Are you listening? This is the real sign of signs. This is the ultimate sign of the second coming of Jesus. This is the ultimate greatest sign. It's so vivid, so clear. There's no mistake what it is. You know what the sign of signs is? It's called the cross. The cross of Jesus is the sign of signs. The cross of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary. The cross that we have all over the church. The cross that we hold up as we enter church and as we go to the gospel lesson. The cross is the sign of signs. God can't do any more for you. Don't await for some other miracle He's going to do. What more can God do for you? God gave His Son for us. His Son died and rose, and there is forgiveness of sins. God's reconciled to you. God's at peace with you. God loves you. He's ready to take you to heaven. There's nothing more that's going to happen except the second coming of Jesus. The cross is the sign of signs. And all that Jesus talks about here is in many ways a prophecy of the cross. He says the temple in that day is going to be overturned. Not one stone left upon another. That's the Jewish temple in Jesus' day. Why does that happen? Because of the cross. It happens because God judges the Jews in Jerusalem because they killed Jesus. They're going to kill me, he's saying. And because of that and their unbelief, God will judge them and overturn their temple. And also because the temple's obsolete. Christ is saying, you won't need the temple. You will not need all the animal sacrifices because I'm going to be the once and for all sacrifice. You won't need a priesthood because I'm your priest. You won't need the Ark of the Covenant because I'm the Ark of the Covenant. My body and blood and communion, this is the Ark of the Covenant. Baptism is the Ark of the Covenant. So you don't need the Jewish temple because I'm going to die and fulfill the entire thing. He's speaking of the cross. He's the new temple. He's the one stone that's not overturned. The cornerstone of our salvation. We sang it in the opening hymn. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He speaks of earthquakes. What happened when Christ died? There was an earthquake. And what happened when he rose? There was an earthquake, a sign of the end. There's going to be famine. And oh, the famine that Jesus experiences on the cross. He has no mercy, no love from his Father. He cries out, I thirst. No water, no bread, no food. He experiences the famine in himself. The famine of famines, the famine of hell, the emptiness of God's mercy. He experiences for us. That's a sign of the end. Brother will betray brother. Who betrayed Jesus? His name was Judas. A father turns over his child. God the Father turned over his child named Jesus and forsook him so that we are forgiven. All signs of his death. You'll be drugged before the leaders, the governors. Happened to Jesus. Drugged before Caiaphas, before Herod, Pontius Pilate. He's the one that suffered and died. There's going to be heresy. Well, Christ is the truth, and there is much heresy. He's not the Christ. He's a blasphemer. He's a rebel. All the heresies around Jesus. Christ is the sign. His cross is the final sign. There's forgiveness for you. Repent now. Believe now. Follow now. Don't wait around for something else. Trust in this Jesus right now. Bring your children. And oh, bring your children, bring your youth, bring your neighbor, bring yourself, bring your grandma and grandpa, bring your aunt and uncle, bring the whole world. Do it now. The sign has been established, the cross of Jesus. The feast is ready. We have a foretaste of it here. What else is going to happen if he's going to come again soon? What are the signs of Thanksgiving coming up? What's the signs that Thanksgiving is near? Well, it's fall. There's football. And there's falling leaves, and there's pumpkin pie. But what is the really, really close sign to Thanksgiving? The turkeys are slaughtered. And there's lots of turkeys in the store, frozen. The turkeys have been slain. The feast is near. The lamb has been slain. The fattened calf has been slain. It's the cross. The feast is being prepared. We get a foretaste of it in communion. And if this is a foretaste, it means the real thing is not far off. You go to a restaurant today, you have an appetizer. The main course is coming. You know it's coming. This is the appetizer, the foretaste. So it's coming. And it'll take us home. No mystery. No speculation here. Simple words of Jesus. You want signs? Constant conflict. It's going to get worse. The confident confession of the church. We'll get bolder and bolder, or we'll fall off and be branches cut off. One or the other for you. You're going to get stronger, or you're going to get weaker and fall off. What's going to happen to you? But here's the sign. The cross of Jesus. I'll say it again. Repent now. Believe now. Follow now. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.